like FixCon Roofing, established in Bemidji in 1999, celebrating 25 years of custom consultations and roof installations in the entire KAXC listening area. More online at FixCon, FIKSCON.com.
Going to be a beautiful day today. Sunny, highs 75 to 83. South-southwest winds 5 to 15. Evening lows 50 to 54. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, becoming sunny with highs in the low to mid 60s.
This is 91.7 KAXC Grand Rapids, 90.5 KPXC Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Check out playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXC.org.
Don't forget, tonight and tomorrow night, KAXC continues partnering with Lakeland PBS for debate night. What questions do you have for local candidates for the Minnesota House? You can email us at news@kaxc.org. It's 7:01, time for local news.
For KAXC News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. A Texas man avoided serious injury after his plane crashed into a Cass County lake Tuesday. Sheriff Brian Welk reports the crash around 2 in the afternoon was in Inguadona Lake in rural Reamer. Witnesses rescued and retrieved the 56-year-old pilot from the plane's wreckage. The plane was contracted by the DNR as a fire suppression aircraft, which was performing a routine proficiency flight when it crashed. The pilot was treated on scene for minor injuries, with recovery efforts to retrieve the aircraft currently underway as of Wednesday's news release. The Crow Wing County Sheriff's Office released more information on the deaths of two people in Mission Township Sunday. Deputies and Breezy Point police officers responded to the residence for a welfare check that afternoon. An officer found the body of 59-year-old Jody Lisney of Minneapolis. 53-year-old Brett Shellstead, also of Minneapolis, was located alive and escorted outside the home. According to the release, shortly after that, Shellstead, who was reportedly Lisney's fiancé, suffered a medical emergency and, despite life-saving efforts, passed away. The investigation continues with toxicology results from the autopsy pending. A Red Lake woman was sentenced to 15 months in a federal prison for her role in the death of a child in her care. The U.S. Attorney's Office says 64-year-old Sharon Rosebear intentionally deprived a child of food and health care over 2022, who died that year from the combined effects of starvation and infection. According to evidence presented at trial, Rosebear was reasonably able to provide for the child's nutrition and health care, but intentionally deprived the child of those basic needs by withholding food. The child died at the same weight she had been 3 years earlier. The girl also died with an infection related to a severe lice infestation. Rosebear was found guilty of felony child neglect following a 6-day trial in April. Her co-defendant, Julius Finde Sr., pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 5 years in prison earlier this year. A juvenile suspect was apprehended after a school threat closed Southridge School Monday. St. Louis County Schools sent students home immediately on buses, with the building searched and cleared before classes resumed. Superintendent Reggie Engebretson told Northern News Now that an anonymous message on the school's answering machine said someone was going to bomb the school. Law enforcement was notified immediately. A Facebook post signed by the superintendent says law enforcement believes this was a prank and that the juvenile suspect faces charges. They were located in another part of the state and reportedly don't know any Southridge students. A third wildfire is actively blazing in the Superior National Forest. Fires in the Wood Lake and Shell Lake areas of the Boundary Water Canoe Area Wilderness prompted official closures from the Forest Service this week, and a third fire discovered within the Gunflint Ranger District has been burning since Tuesday night. The bogus lake fire is not believed to pose a threat to structures and is 45 acres as of Wednesday afternoon. Forest Service and Minnesota DNR fire crews are using aircraft to continue suppression efforts, with the cause of the fire still unknown. Funding from the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency will create over 800 new market-rate rental units in small to mid-sized communities in greater Minnesota. The agency announced the recipients of nearly $40 million in funding in a news release Friday. In northern Minnesota, the funding is adding 198 rental units, 44 at Bunker Hills in Aiken, 6 at Mountain View Meadows in Bemidji, and 16 at an unnamed development in Grand Marais. The biggest project receiving program funds this year is a 132-unit apartment building in Grand Rapids. KAXC's election guide is now available at KAXC.org. Our news team contacted every candidate in a contested race for state house, school board, and county, city, and township office in northern Minnesota. Our goal was to create an election guide focused on issues you care about. In addition to standard questions like, why are you running? Our election guide asks questions about climate change, taxation, and transparency, inspired by feedback from our audience. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXC News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
Good morning. It's 7:06, and this is the Thursday Morning Show. I'm Heidi Holton with Kari Hedlund. Coming up, we're getting updates from National Public Radio. We're hearing more about hurricanes in Florida. Stay tuned for that story, as well as a story coming from Detroit and the Michigan about the vote there. Stay tuned.
We received support from the state of Minnesota. Also want to thank the Minnesota Historical Society for their support. The Forest History Center in Grand Rapids is now open Fridays and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Fall hours, including horse-drawn trolley and kayak tours, run through October 19th. Tickets and more info at mnhs.info/forestautumn.
Sunny skies today with highs 75 to 83. South-southwest winds 5 to 15. Tonight looks like 50 to 54 degrees. Deer River Community Education is presenting a talk on local Ojibwe maps. That's at 7 p.m. tonight at Ball Club Community Center. Learn what was in the area before railroads, loggers, and homesteads.
Coming up at 9 this morning, Sarah is your host for On the River. And at 2 o'clock, Malachi Coons is bringing you new music.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Leila Fadel in Detroit, Michigan.
And I'm Michelle Martin in Washington, D.C. Hurricane Milton made landfall last night, bringing heavy rain and winds exceeding 100 miles per hour to Florida's Gulf Coast. Now, as the hurricane moves out into the Atlantic, residents in Tampa and the surrounding areas are navigating the impact of the storm and what comes next. Joining us now to talk about this is Representative Kathy Castor. She's a Democrat. She's currently just outside the evacuation zone north of Tampa, which is part of the district she represents. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Hi, Michelle.
Could you just start by telling us what you're seeing right now?
The day is dawning on a major catastrophe across Florida. It was a very long night, raging winds, blowing rain, power lines going down. We're now awaiting reports on fatalities. Fortunately, the only saving grace here may be that Hurricane Helene was so destructive that many people had gone. They heeded the evacuation warnings. You know, Helene flooded out about 20,000 of my neighbors. So they didn't have really a place to stay there along the coast. And we were just grappling with that recovery. And Milton, this monster, spins up in the Gulf. And this is going to have major impacts to our infrastructure, our water, wastewater, roads, bridges. But hopefully the loss of life will be at the minimum.
I certainly hope so. I think we all certainly hope so. What is your assessment of the federal response in your district so far? I know that the head of FEMA is on the ground in Florida, but what's your assessment?
FEMA has been outstanding, from President Biden to Vice President Harris to FEMA Administrator Criswell and all of the agents. We were ensuring that neighbors received disaster assistance in the days before Milton, and that aid was arriving, notwithstanding what some of the misinformation is out there. But I think the hard part now is we're living in a new abnormal. Storm after storm, these are more intense. The surge came in feet above we had ever experienced before because of the extraordinarily hot temperatures in the Gulf of Mexico, driven by the warming of the climate.
So Congressman, let me just briefly ask you this, because I know you served on the House Select Committee on Climate and you came up with recommendations. As briefly as you can, are there things that you could implement immediately that would help address this, at least ameliorate some of this?
We urgently have to reduce climate pollution, the pollution that is warming the seas, and we have to adapt. We really have to build a more resilient community.
That is Democratic Congresswoman Kathy Castor. She represents Florida's 14th district. That is one of the hardest hit areas in the state right now. Congresswoman, thank you so much for your time. I know you're extremely busy right now.
Thank you, Michelle.
The vast majority of Black voters in the U.S. reliably vote Democrat. But Republicans have been making gains specifically among Black men. That's according to a recent NAACP poll that found 1 in 4 under 50 support Donald Trump over Kamala Harris. Now, that's not immediately apparent on the west side of Detroit. When you swing by a Dexter barbershop on a Saturday afternoon, there's a Harris Wall sign in the window, and most chairs are full.
What's up, Joe? You all right? Snuck in here on me. I didn't even see you.
Men and women, young and old, come to clean up and catch up at this more than half-century-old establishment. And these days, with the election just a few weeks away, conversations often turn to politics.
I can't believe the Republican Party allowing this rhetoric from this guy.
That's John Moore. He's been cutting hair here for more than 20 years, and he's a lifelong Democrat.
Like what kind of rhetoric?
You know, make the country great again. You know what I'm saying? What do you mean by that? You want to make the country great again. So you want to bring back the Jim Crow days. You want to bring back anti-Semitism. We don't need that, sir. We don't need that, baby. Country's got to go forward. We got a lot to do. And I think Pamela can knock some of that down. I really do. Not Donald Trump.
Moore lived through the Civil Rights Movement, and he knows what life was before then, and in his view, could be again. That buzzing sound, it's Moore working on Jerry Montgomery's hair. He's a 65-year-old police officer who's excited about the idea of a prosecutor becoming president and appreciates Harris's humble beginnings.
Because she worked at McDonald's, worked her way through college. I think I would trust a person more that has experienced our lifestyle, opposed to a person that had a silver spoon put in their mouth. But it's going to tell you that I'm going to take care of the middle class. Sure you are. Right?
But just one chair over, another barber, William Askew, is not so sure. He's 20 years younger than Montgomery.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm still on the fence. I might just not vote for nobody.
Really?
She talk about building the middle class, but I was like, what about the lower class? What are you going to do to help the lower class? I know half the people I see every day, the lower tier, lower class, not middle class. What's the solution for that?
Michelle Tucker walks in.
Spicy or barbecue for my
own.
Spicy.
She's taking orders for the home-cooked meals she sells. And on her route, she's been kind of surprised by what she hears.
Do you feel like there's some excitement for Kamala Harris in this neighborhood, for Donald Trump? Like, who are people leaning towards when you go out and talk to people?
I mean, you know, it's kind of 30-70.
For who? For?
Some for her, some for him.
So 70 for who?
Kumbler. But you got a lot of African-American men that I noticed. They said they're not going to vote for her. Why? I can't tell you why.
And that, you know, growing support for Trump Tucker talks about, if you dig a little deeper, it's not hard to find in West Detroit. Okay. Right around the corner, a group of longtime friends all in their 40s are hanging out.
Yes. Are all, can I ask who you're voting for?
Democrat.
Trump.
Undecided.
Donald Trump.
At first, they don't want to talk. Politics often leads to arguments, they say. But then they come around. Only one will give his full name. The others give just an initial so they can speak candidly in this tense political moment. I turn to the one decided Harris voter, B, and ask what his top issues are.
It's the civil rights issue and the abortion. My daughter having control of her own body.
So you really do feel that civil rights will roll back under Donald Trump?
Yes. As a people, we won't be able to survive that.
As a people, as
a black people, we There's no way we would survive something like that.
You about to go back to slavery?
I think we about to go back to the days of you need papers to be on the streets. Dog, if you read that Project 25, we're going back.
He's referring to a conservative guidebook called Project 2025 that was put together by Trump loyalists. It calls for things like stricter controls on abortion, mass deportations, and rolling back LGBTQ rights. That last one is a top issue for a couple of these guys like Jay, who stopped voting for the Democrats after gay marriage was legalized.
This stuff is on daytime TV.
They're forcing it on us.
You know, that's when I left Democrats alone.
Republican anti-LGBTQ talking points are appealing to more conservative men pretty much across demographics. And then, as they predicted, the conversation gets heated.
So you willing to give up your right and your daughter's right?
Another friend, Bobby Stokes, hears the chatter and walks up.
We up here politicking.
I hear, man. I want to chime in, but y'all conversation so thick.
Stokes has the same top issue this election as a lot of people in this working class neighborhood.
Economy. I got to be able to eat, man. I need some wiggle room with my check. I don't have enough wiggle room to survive.
When I ask him who he thinks will deliver, he tells me...
The thing I'm going to say, I haven't made my mind up yet. I'm almost 50. I've never been alive where they just appointed somebody to go run for the presidency. They always had a debate. They had a process. And they skipped the process, and then they just threw Kamala there. So my thing is, why? Why would they just throw her there, number one? Then number two, when you look at the world, when they had these meetings, it's going to be like representing China, a man, representing Russia, a man. So then the big, bad, strong U.S. going to have Kamala. In my opinion, I don't think the world is ready for it. Mm. I'm not saying that I'm not, because like I said, I'm on the fence. If I can get a better understanding of her agenda, I'll probably go her way.
There are only a few weeks left for one of the two campaigns to win his vote.
Okay. Layla, you really got the information there.
Yeah, I mean, we ran into this group of friends and they really gave an unvarnished truth of what they think.
You know, okay, so now this is, first of all, really fascinating. But now I'm wondering if you heard those kinds of sentiments from other voters that you talked to.
Actually, yes. And it's a trend we've been seeing for a few years now, really across demographics. Republicans are making inroads among the socially conservative within minority communities who typically vote for Democrats. And some of that is over the culture war issues that you heard in this piece from Jay. And we saw that here with conservative Arab and Muslims well before the larger community started getting angry at Biden and the Democrats over Gaza. And the economy is also a really big issue with inflation and interest rates. Yeah. It's a tough time for so many Americans.
Right. These close races, these margins really matter. Layla Fadel in Michigan, really, thanks so much for bringing all this reporting to us this week.
Thanks, Michelle. I'm excited to come back to D.C. and see you.
Support for NPR's elections coverage comes from Sattva, committed to making handcrafted mattresses that help lull people to sleep and keep them sleeping soundly. More information is at SAATVA.com/NPR. And from Hiscox, committed to helping small businesses protect their dreams. Quotes and information on customized insurance for specific risks are available at Hiscox.com. Hiscox, business insurance experts.
This is NPR News. You're listening to the Thursday Morning Show. That was Morning Edition from National Public Radio. I'm Kari Hedlund here with Heidi Holton. We receive support from the Lake Country Journal, a magazine showcasing the beauty, landscapes, wonders, and people of Lake Country. The February-March issue publishes the winners of their annual photo contest, which are also displayed at the Brainerd Lakes Regional Airport. Submissions are accepted all year round at lakecountryjournal.com.
We'd also like to thank Arden Bicycles in Grand Rapids. They're presenting the third annual Thrill Seeker Enduro at Tioga Recreation Area Saturday, October 19th. race times and more information, ardentbicycles.com.
We're back to some warmer weather today. Sunny, highs 75 to 83. South-southwest winds 5 to 15 miles per hour with evening lows 50 to 54 degrees. Friday, we're back to cooler, highs in the low to mid-60s, and then Saturday in the upper 50s. I do believe we are still under some fire.
Dry.
Critical fire weather conditions today. So please check burning restrictions and fire danger before burning with that mix of that dryness and wind. Dangerous combo.
Just a slight chance, like a 20% chance on Saturday that I don't even believe in it, that there might be a little bit of rain, which we could use.
But when I got out of the car at the station this morning, there was a hint of rain in the air, with this smell, you know, which made me really miss the rain.
Yeah, no kidding. Itasca Pride is showing the documentary film How Love Won, The Fight for Marriage Equality in Minnesota. That's this Friday at 7 at Mann Cinema 8 in Grand Rapids. Tickets available at Itasca Pride's Facebook page.
And the La Crosse District Office of the Superior National Forest near Cook has an open house today from 4 to 6. Staff will be available to discuss recent projects, plus there will be door prizes, games, and more.
If you haven't heard, today is Hug a Kevin Day.
Yes, we're out looking for a Kevin to hug.
Yeah, it comes from a number of things. You know, St. Kevin, 6th century Ireland.
I don't know St. Kevin, and honestly, I thought Kevin was more of a contemporary name.
No, he did a lot of good in the Kingdom of Leinster. He's also one of the several patron saints of the Archdiocese of Dublin. But you fast forward a little bit, 1950s, Kevin McCarthy, the stardom of the actor, that's what they're saying that's came. But then the trend came to be named Kevin, right? The 11th most popular name in 1963. But then by 2016, plummeted to 89th. Not as many Kevins.
It's even still up there.
But also very important to this, I keep doing a lot of
circles.
Yeah,
you do.
Sorry. We had Home Alone.
I was going to say, Kevin!
Yes, yeah. So yes. There's that. But then there was a show that lasted only one season called Kevin Probably Saves the World. It starred Jason Ritter. And in that show, this is maybe where this came from, he broke the Guinness World Record for the most hugs in a minute by one individual.
Oh, I bet that's where this came from.
Yeah.
I do love Jason Ritter.
I do too. I think he's great.
He's hilarious.
Yeah.
I'll go on TikTok every once in a while, and he's on there, and he is hilarious.
All right, so you don't have to hug a Kevin, but
we just encourage it, though. Yeah. I mean, I hope Kevins are accepting of the hugs.
That's what I was just going to say. This is actually a public service announcement. If your name is Kevin, watch out today.
And also, like, it's a good thing to ask, too, before you hug, before you go in for the hug.
If you want to weigh in, you can text us at 218-326-1234.
Would you like a day, a hug a Brenda day?
Yeah.
Hug a Karen. Hug a Steve.
Right.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
You can text us 218-326-1234, and we'd love to hear from you. You're listening to the Thursday Morning Show. As we said, we've got a great morning coming up today. Megan Buffington will be in. It was talking about all things election. And the next hour, we have a conversation with National Public Radio's music critic Ann Powers, along with editor Allison Fensterstock, on a new book that's out called How Women Made Music. I heard an interview on All Things Considered last night with Ann about this very book. And so it was fun to hear, because, you know, I asked very different questions than they asked on the show. And
yeah.
So it was kind of fun to hear both of those. But so that is coming up next hour.
Let's find out about some of the live music in our region.
This is the Setlist on KAXC, where we highlight live music around the area for the upcoming week. I'm Malachi Coons. We are looking at shows in Duluth, Gilbert, Bemidji, and Aiken. Starting things off in Duluth, Wusso's Concert Cafe is hosting 1 week live every night this week through Saturday. It is the 22nd edition of this week-long festival with multiple performers each night from around the Twin Ports and northeastern Minnesota. Live recordings taken from the shows will make up the album One Week Live Volume 22, a long-running album showcase of the music scene in the area. And musicians this year include Minor Moon, the Urban Hillbilly Quartet, and the Penny Peaches. Again, that is each night at Wusso's Concert Cafe in West Duluth through Saturday. On Thursday, you can catch Mark Joseph at the Ore House in Gilbert at 7 p.m. A songwriter and guitarist who plays many genres like Americana, blues, country, and rock. He's also a former guitarist for Minnesota jam band The Big Woo and released his fourth solo album, Palisade Peach, at the end of 2023. Thursday night, 7 p.m. in Gilbert. On to Saturday at 7 o'clock, you can catch the blues jam duo Brothers Burn Mountain at Bemidji Brewing. Ryan and Jesse Dermody have a one-of-a-kind live show that features extended, improvised jams, lengthy drum solos, and even instrument swapping. And at the same time, in Aiken, folk duo Morning Bird will be at Sampa Guida. Violinist Jill Burks and guitarist Rob Wheeler share vocals with their mix of original songs and traditionals. Their debut album, Echoes in the Meadow, came out earlier this year. That show is Saturday in Aiken at Sampa Guida at 7 p.m. The set list is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and we'll post the latest edition every Wednesday at kaxe.org.
/7:26, that's the set list. You can hear Malachi Coons coming up today, 2 and 10 o'clock, for new music.
And if you'd like more information on what you just heard about the set list, go to kaxe.org. There's a write-up each and every week. Coming up, we are going to be doing best wishes. But first, we want to thank Sanford Bemidji Sleep Center, offering assessments, diagnosis, treatments, and retail products for a variety of sleep-related disorders. More at sanfordhealth.org.
Kari, you've chosen a new Casey Chambers album to spotlight right now.
Yes, Casey Chambers is an Australian singer-songwriter and huge in Australia and still, you know, she's been around for many years. But still, as far as being known goes, I would say relatively under the radar in the States. But she's such a, she's got such a great voice. And, you know, it's sort of like the Kendall Palmer, Iris DeMent tone.
Amanda Shires?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Amanda's got her, she's kind of on her own plane.
I know.
Because she's got that vibrato that is so unique. And not saying that these artists aren't on their own plane, but yeah. So this is a new one out. John Bauer, we know, is a fan. So you're going to have to play new Casey Chambers for John tomorrow. But here is the new album, and we're going to hear Backbone, the Desert Child.
Well, they call me the Desert Child. I was born out in the wild. Ain't never been lost to the Southern Cross with a heart that runs a mile. While the train awaits arrival, I'd learn to read the Bible. I remembered every word just to sing like a bird and to whistle on down the line. Oh, my. Oh, the family choir and the moon it played in time. And the boxcar disappeared with a wave from the engineer. And I always came back for the coin. Southern cross with a heart that runs a mile.
That is Casey Chambers, Backbone, the Desert Child. The new album is called Backbone, and you can hear more from that maybe coming up today at 2 o'clock with Malachi Coons.
We've got some theater performances around our region. That includes Central Lakes College Performing Arts Center. They're presenting the drama Radium Girls, and that begins tomorrow and goes to October 19th at the Chalberg Theater on the Brainerd campus. Tickets are and more information at clcperformingarts.com. And Dracula continues. This is their last weekend. Dracula, a comedy of terrors by the Grand Rapids Players at the IFC Studio Theater at the Rife Center.
We received support from Dragonfly Coffee, located in Central Square Mall in Grand Rapids, featuring a scratch bakery and offering espresso, bubble tea, and more. Empowering inclusion and community through employment. Special order pricing and more at drinkdragonfly.com.
Still a little chilly around the region. We're seeing 37 degrees in Hibbing, 42 in Grand Rapids, 41 in Bemidji, Aiken 52, Park Rapids at 43, Virginia at 40, and Bagley reporting 49 degrees. But temperatures are going to move right on up. Could even be in the low 80s, mid-70s to low 80s. I'm going to jump in the lake today, I think. If we get out on
you
the
are.
Boat, I'm going to make myself do the last one.
Do it. Do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I promised Andrew yesterday that I would do that. But
we went for one last loop around the lake on Saturday.
Yeah.
And Kyle jumped in and was really trying to encourage our kids to jump in.
But he couldn't contain his screaming?
No, he did. He did so well that... Anders jumped in, our 12-year-old, and immediately was like, ah! Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And afterwards, after our boat ride, I said to Kyle, I was like, so how was it? Was it really that cold? Because I was like under a blanket on the tune. And he was like, oh no, that was like, I had to work real hard to like put on a game face because
wow.
It was like nearly took
I know,
his
a big
away.
Talker. Once I get out there,
no, but
it's,
do
it's
it.
Always chillier than you think when you get on the lake. But we're going to go out tonight, so we'll see what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm going to try.
Looking forward to hearing about it.
Okay.
If I had a sauna beforehand, I would do it.
Yeah. I mean, people, this is
when I get a little fair weather swimmer.
But this... Cold water plunges are good for the body, so I need to think of it that way. You know, I'll wait till next spring till I do it again. I'm not quite that, you know.
Are you doing ice baths now?
No. No, not at all. I'm really into warm things when it comes to saunas, hot tubs, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Over the cold, but anyway.
You are listening to KAXE Independent Radio in Northern Minnesota, powered by our listeners. And if you are a member and you're looking for maybe one more way to help out, consider donating matching funds to encourage others during our fall membership drive coming up October 21st through the 26th. Every amount makes a difference, from $20 to $1,000. You'll get an extra gift for your donation to the Come Home to KAXE member drive. Contact Heather at 218-326-1234. You can email her, heather@kaxe.org.
In this half hour, Megan Buffington's going to be joining us, our reporter. We'll learn more about the election guide that went live this week at our website, kaxe.org. In-depth information that you're not going to get anywhere else. County boards, township boards, city councils, House races, school board races throughout the region. You can find it at KAXE.org. And like I said, rolling out a call-in show next Friday, a week from tomorrow, called Dialed In at noontime. And we're going to be talking about local elections and kind of breaking down some of the misinformation when it comes to voting and accepting calls. We'll have the reporters in to talk more about things that are going on in our local communities.
Right now, it's time for Best Wishes, where we wish our friends and neighbors happy birthday, happy anniversary for today, October 10th. We have one anniversary on the books from Lowell Johnson and Colleen LeBlanc, celebrating 43 years from Fort Ripley.
Anissa Grotejohn, happy birthday to you today. She's from Grand Rapids. And we also want to wish Deb Isaacson from Reamer happy 68th, former queen of green cheese.
John Jaden celebrates 76 years from Bemidji, and Stig Edwardson celebrating 70 from Gilbert.
Donna O'Connor, happy birthday to you from Eveleth.
And Michael McAvoy, 68 from Nashua.
And today is the 32nd birthday of Mac Holton, otherwise known by me as Pork Chop. And this is one
not
of
Big
our-
Mac?
Nope. Oh, that's not bad, though. No, Pork Chop. He got married last year, and so I deemed his wife Applesauce. So
Pork Chops and Applesauce.
There we go. This is a song that we both enjoy a lot. It went from when he was a little kid.
break in the kitchen.
Oh, dance break. I thought you said Dan is breaking the kitchen. And I was like, Gannon?
Dan Cannon, get out of the kitchen.
Happy birthday, Mac Holton in Anchorage, Alaska. That's for you.
I was just hoping people were having a dance break in the kitchen as they're getting ready this morning.
Yeah, how can you not with the B-52s? I mean, that song has so many different little layers and elements to just go nuts on.
Lobster. Mm-hmm. I love that song.
Down. There we go.
You're listening to KAXE. I'm Kari Hedlund here with Heidi Holton. Thanks for listening this morning. There is some live music tonight. You heard the set list earlier. Check that out at KAXE.org. But also tonight, Kim Nagler is at Smoke on the Water in Coleraine at 5 o'clock. Morning Bird is playing the Sawmill Saloon in Mountain Iron at 6. And this is in the set list. But again, Mark Joseph of the Big Woo is at the Ore House in Gilbert at 7.
There's an Indigenous People's Day celebration at the Crow Wing County Courthouse this Monday in Brainerd from 4 to 7. You can learn why history and story matter with the program starting at 4:30. I'll also feature the Mille Lacs Color Guard and a jingle dress presentation. Refreshments will be served.
We receive support from Harmony Food Co-op, Bemidji's full-service downtown grocery store, providing products needed to live a healthy life, including a variety of local, organic, fair trade, and conventional items. Open daily from 8 to 8, more at harmonyfoods.coop, also on Facebook.
Coming up, we check in with our reporter, Megan Buffington. But first, it's time for our Daily Dose of Phenology with John Latimer.
On today's date, October 10th in the year 2000, my son Martin directed me to a spot where he had seen some snakes crawling into a hole in the ground. Turns out, a tree had blown down and the excavation created by the stump left some holes in the soil that the snakes could exploit as a place of hibernation. So the snakes, and there were three of them, were crawling into these vacuums, vacancies, left by the roots that had been torn loose from the tree. And those openings provided places where they could huddle together below the frost line and wait out the winter. They will do so by reducing their respiration and metabolism to nearly death levels. And once the earth warms up in the spring, they will emerge fit and healthy and ready to go back to work.
. 7:46, this is the Thursday morning show. If you missed Phenology this week, you can find it at our webpage at kexe.org. And a really good tip here, sign up for that Season Watch newsletter, especially if you want to be a little more connected to nature.
Yes, the Charlie Mitchell gives you a great rundown of what you should be looking out for, even in like, I love that they break it down between like, what to check out in a city, what to check out on the road, what to check, you know, like it doesn't matter where you're at, nature's everywhere.
Absolutely.
So check that out and sign up for it at kaxe.org. We receive support from Lake Country Power, a Touchstone Energy Cooperative committed to community and giving back through scholarships, youth programs, Operation Roundup, and more. Lake Country Power, made by the community for the community.
Last night was a forum for the school board in Grand Rapids and Big Fork area at the Rife Center. Thanks to everybody who joined us and watched on ICTV. And if you have checked out our website, kaxe.org, you have seen right at the top our election guide. And then tonight we continue partnering with Lakeland Public Television with debate nights tonight and tomorrow night. And joining us, fully involved in every single aspect I said right here, is Megan Buffington, our reporter.
Good morning. I'm drowning in elections.
Yes, you are. It's a dream of every reporter, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Right. Really, it's to dive in head first.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting thing as a new reporter, right, to be in this world where national politics always kind of takes the forefront. I mean, here you are reporting in this job for the first time in a presidential year. So most people seem to be leaning that way because that's where more information is. But you guys have been dedicated to why local elections matter.
Yeah, and it's something, even as a voter myself, you really struggle. It can be a struggle in some of these smaller towns to find any information. Even with our voter guide, we sent out emails twice. And for those who didn't submit an email, we called to try to get submissions. But I live in Bovee, and we got one submission for city council, none from mayor. I think we only got one for the Greenway School District. So even with these efforts, I'm still like, I still don't have a ton of information. So it's more than I would have had if we didn't do this guide. And I hope others are in a similar situation. And but it's difficult, too, when you're working with, I think candidates in local elections have gotten used to not doing voters guides and things like that. Oh, well, I can word of mouth, I can door knock, everyone knows me.
Especially in small communities.
Exactly, which is all well and good, but they're so used to not having another media outlet, another communications outlet like that, that it's kind of fallen to the wayside. But I think it is still needed in a lot of these areas, too.
Well, especially because a lot of these positions cover a bigger area. I mean, some of them are obviously hyper-localized within a smaller community, but some of them cover many communities, and you can't get, you know, that one person can't get to every single constituent.
Right. And you look at Grand Rapids School District comes to mind just because of the forum last night. I mean, it's almost all of Itasca County. It is
it's huge.
I think it's the third largest district geographically in the state. It goes all the way over almost to Black Duck. It's just a massive, massive area. And they're not, if there wasn't something like this online, I mean, and they can watch online for ICTV with the forum, and that's great. But without those things, like, you're not door knocking every single house in the community. A lot of the candidates last night said they made their way up to Big Fork, which is great. And I think that's important. But you can't hit every single student, every single family, every single voter in something just that large. So there has to be other ways of connecting people and getting them information.
Let's look a little bit behind the curtain. Is that the way to say it?
Yeah, close enough.
Yes. Transparency of like how you put together the voter guide and what questions you wanted to ask.
Yeah. So our questions were partially informed by through our partnership with America Amplified. We'd had a form on our website for a couple of months now just asking, what do you want to hear from candidates this election season? And we took those answers and then both kind of issues we've seen come up multiple times in our own reporting and used that to craft the questions.
So you like have, housing.
Like housing, yeah. So you have your standard questions of why are you running? What's your experience? Where do you work and where are you employed? Those sorts of things. But then we got into housing. We got it and issues of affordability and availability and what do you think you can do? We got into climate. That was one. The question was, I think, almost verbatim what was submitted to us and how are you going to help your community improve their climate resiliency? We asked about taxation. That's something that's high taxation has been talked about, both property taxes, other things like that. It's a very common topic. And so just do you have any thoughts depending on your role? Like not asking directly, do you plan to increase taxes, but trying to give people a sense of where do these people land on this? I'm trying to remember the last one. You'd think after staring at it for days and days and days, I'd have it like that, but
you've had a few things in your mind.
There's a little bit going on here.
Yeah.
But yeah, in general, just topics that are coming up time and time again and trying to get people these information beyond just letting the candidates say whatever they want, saying this is an issue that we are hearing from voters. They're struggling with. What are you going to do about that?
Well, and some of those are, you know, kind of regardless of the position relative to all of these positions in the election. I mean, property taxes came up last night at the school board debate. You know, I mean, that's some of these infiltrate sort of all of these entities that are of people running. Like we said, it was aired on ICTV. You can still find that forum there. That was your first time moderating a forum like that?
It was, yeah. Okay. And that, like I told Heidi afterwards, I got off the stage, I'm like, that was the first time and I never have to do the first one ever again. But I think it went well. It was everybody engaged in a very intentional way, which I appreciated. Nobody was there not really giving their all into their answers. People were sharing, this is what I think, this is what I care about, this is why I'm here. Which is always the goal with that is helping those candidates connect with voters. And again, the questions for that were also informed by submissions from those in the district, both educators, parents, taxpayers, and trying to get them answers to those issues as well. And I think between hitting on those topics that people really cared about, even if some of them are difficult to talk about sometimes, I think they're important to touch on to get that out in the open. And I think all the candidates were very genuine in their responses.
They were civil to each other as well.
They were as well. Yeah, there was a very nice moment at the end in, I think it was in David Cowan's, I think it was his closing statement. He said something, he's like, oh yeah, my wife's not even voting for me. She's voting for Ashley, who's sitting next to him, and Ashley covers her face with her hands and is just appalled.
Yeah.
But everyone on the stage was laughing. Everyone in the audience was laughing. It was a very nice, genuine moment of, hey, we're all Grand Rapids residents. And a couple of the candidates said this last night, but we all care about the students in this district. We all care about this district succeeding. And that was just, it's nice to know that even though views differ, sometimes significantly, people are coming from a well-intentioned place.
As a parent of kids in the district and just a citizen of Grand Rapids, I found it extremely helpful in just helping understand where everyone came from. And so thank you for that. As a coworker, I was very proud of you and of KAXC in our role with that, along with ICTV. So it was great.
I think it's a wonderful example of, we have a lot of discussions kind of internally and among coworkers, and local is so important to us at KAXC, both in the news team, but just broadly as part of our identity. And I think one of the things that make local elections so special is there's so much distrust with politicians across the board, no matter where you land on political spectrums, especially at the national level. Everyone's kind of sick of it. And here you have examples like that where everyone's like, that would never happen at a presidential debate where everyone's laughing and saying like, right, oh, actually, my wife's going to vote for it. Like,
I agree it with just, this.
It's
there was lots of agreement up there.
It's a great
too.
Example of, we're all here. We're all members of this community in a very intimate way. And I think that local elections highlight that there's still a lot of community out there.
Mm-hmm. And such a great example of what the future is like here at KEXC in terms of elections. We expect to only grow with our news team, but to be able to do this, and it's so important to have trust as a media organization. And it really felt like people were there last night because they trusted KEXC would handle this professionally, ICTV as well, to partner with them. And then to have a space like the Rife Center, you know, things just kind of came together. But I'm really excited to see the future of this because, you know, this is the one school board forum we have capacity to host.
Right.
In the future, we'll be doing it in other places as well.
Right. And that was, we had even thrown around, maybe we'll go here, maybe we'll go here. And the reality was we'd never built an election guide before. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the infrastructure. A lot of media outlets, you do this year in, year out, every election's all right, get the dust off the old spreadsheet and let's start again. Like, we had to build the website of things. We had to decide how we were going to format it. We had to decide how we were going to write questions. Are we going to do, we ended up with a Google form is what we sent to candidates. But how do we want to do that? How do we do word limits? How do we do all these different things, which each piece adds up and it takes a significant amount of time. But now next year we'll be like, all right, copy this. Or next year, 2 years is probably when the next big one, but next year there'll be some of it as well. Copy this. We've got a form, swap out some of the questions, but the bones of it are there.
Yeah.
And I think that'll allow us to both do more forums and stuff like that, but also having our first election guide, having that as something we can link to in the past, and this is what this is going to look like. I think that'll also only increase the engagement that we get from candidates and from our audience.
For sure. Looking ahead to tonight and tomorrow night. Is it as well?
Yep.
You have some more debates coming up. Can you tell us about that on Lakeland?
Yeah. So Chelsea sat with a panel of three journalists at the Lakeland debates in their Bemidji studio on Monday and Tuesday. I'll be going down to Brainerd for a few more races down there. It'll be two state house races, two Thursday night, two Friday night. It'll be me, a journalist from the Brainerd Dispatch, and then someone from Lakeland Television on the panel asking the candidates questions.
Okay.
All right. And if this is not the end of our election coverage, just because the election guide is there and because this is the big week, we're very excited about the next 3 weeks. A week from Friday, Dialed In is going to be happening, a noontime call-in show that will go more in-depth on politics as well and how the journalists are doing the work they do. We want your input as well. We want to know, what are the biggest concerns? What are you not getting answers to when you're trying to get information?
Yeah. What do you still want to know? What kind of election coverage are you looking for? Like I said, when we had to decide whether we were doing an election guide at all. And a lot of that came from asking people in the community, what are you looking for? And so that's still what's going on. What do you need in your election coverage and how can we deliver that to you? I think one thing we're excited for now that this guide is finally, we're kind of over that hump with that, is let's go back and see how people are feeling in the community, so they feel they have that information. As we get closer to election day, kind of what are new issues cropping up? Are you feeling good about it? Are you feeling bad about it? Why or why not? And going back to that voter focus that we really cared about, because it's good to get that candidate information out there, but it was kind of candidate for a mm-hmm. while there. And now we can go back to, all right, voters, let's check in again. How are you feeling? What do you need? What can we do as an information source to help?
You can help support this work that our KAXE news team is doing each and every day by becoming a member. That's a huge part of how we're able to continue this work. Go to KAXE.org and click on the donate button.
Thanks, Megan.
Thank you.
Thanks, Megan.
Coming up, we'll have news headlines from National Public Radio. And Kari, you've got a conversation coming up before 9 o'clock on a new book about music and women. Right?
Women, yep. It's based off of the Turning the Table series that National Public Radio started, where they were looking at music through the lens of what if we just kind of took men out of the equation here, not discrediting what they had, but also just... what does the conversation look like when we're just focusing on who the female pioneers in music were and are and continue to be? And this book highlights a lot of them, featuring contributions from fellow women in public radio, musicians talking about other musicians and music critics. So we will be hearing that conversation around 8:45 this morning. We receive support from the Watermark Art Center in Bemidji, located at 505 Bemidji Avenue. Galleries are open to the public. Their on-site retail store features regionally created art, home decor, and handcrafted gifts. More information at watermarkartcenter.org.
Thanks also goes out to Grande.